Amen. I look forward to the special music today, also at the Green Acres service and extended care. I understand we have some special young men that are ready to preach for us too, so we'll look forward to that. Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. The farther away our society gets from God, the less we know. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the further away from God we get, the less sure things become in life. But praise God for His Word. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time. We could sing these praises to Your name and now to look into Your Word. Now pray the Holy Spirit would have His way in each of our hearts. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 3, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away. What's the next word? Reserved. Reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God. Through faith, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So, we need to have a place reserved in heaven. How do you do that? Well, verse 5, it's through the power of God. It's through faith unto salvation. And in verse 3, it talks about the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The reason and the only way we can have a place reserved in heaven is if we have placed our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and in His shed blood for us on that cross. Notice in 1 John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, just a little further back there. And in this day and age, people get to be kind of pessimistic, and sometimes rightly so, that is about earthly things, because they don't know what's coming next. But we know, spiritually speaking. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11. 1 John 5, verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us, what? Eternal life. It's not temporary life, but eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I, what? Written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may, what? Know that ye have, what? Eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. So verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Why? Because it's in writing. It's in writing, it's sure. And that's why we can know. Let's go then to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Today we're living in an age of fables. Not certainty, what we just read about there, but an age of fables. We're going to look at that word in just a minute here. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And let's see what the Lord has to say to us that's going to happen. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. What's the first three words of verse 2? Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure what? Sound doctrine. We're going to look at that. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from what? The truth. And shall be turned unto what? Fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Why is it that people are so unsure of eternal life today? Because their hearts have been turned away after fables. After fables. Let's go back to this verse 1 here and look at this passage a little bit this morning. Verse 1, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. The word quick there, according to Merriam-Webster's 11th Collegiate Dictionary, means not dead. It said that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to judge the quick and the dead. Quick means alive, living. It's the very first definition given of that word. So both those who are alive and those who are dead are going to be judged at the coming, the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first time that Jesus came to earth, he did not come to judge mankind. He came to save mankind. And if you want to hold your place here, turn to me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. When Jesus came, he did not come to judge man. He came to save mankind. In John chapter 3, this used to be the most well-known verse in the world, we're told. John chapter 3, verse 16. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, what? Believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. You know, the Bible does not talk about eternity, anything temporary. It's everlasting life or everlasting punishment, one or the other. Notice verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to what? To condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So when Jesus came the first time, he did not come to condemn mankind. He came to save mankind. But in verse 18, Jesus is going to come back in the clouds. And notice verse 18, he that believeth on him is what? Not condemned. But he that believeth not is what? Condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. People that are not saved, people that have not yet repented of their sin and received the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not that they are waiting condemnation. The Bible says they're condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. They are already condemned. Why? Well, verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved what? Darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Sometimes people say, well, I don't know why I'm so bad. You know, I've never killed anyone. I've never committed adultery. I've never done this or that. But the Bible says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. In James 4:17. We all fall into that category. How many times have we known to do something good and didn't do it? Because we didn't want to do it. We all fall into that category. Whether when the alarm rings and you were supposed to get up and help someone else and you didn't, you just shut it off and said, I'm too tired to get up. Maybe you saw the trash overflowing. And you thought, well, it's not my turn. I'm not going to take it out. Or maybe it was your turn, and maybe you thought, I just don't feel like doing it. Maybe you saw your mom, your wife, setting the table, and you just walked right on by. You could have helped. There are so many things. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Those are sin. God expects us to love our neighbor as ourselves. And many times we don't. That is sin. God is absolutely holy, and we are absolutely sinful so many times. We're selfish, and we've just got to admit that. The Bible says we can't be saved unless we humble ourselves as a child. A child. Children know they've done wrong. But many times the older we get, the more hardened we become. And we don't want to admit. We could all write a book of excuses. But you know what? When we stand before God, none of those excuses are going to work. Sometimes children try that with their parents or with their teachers. You know, well, I was late because of this or that. Well, many times parents figure that out, and teachers. They know better. Well, God knows better, especially. So one day, Jesus is going to return in the clouds. The first time he came to save man, he came and died in our place. But the next time, when he comes in the clouds, it's going to be too late for those who have heard the gospel, for those who have heard that Christ died for our sins, was buried and rose again, for those that have heard that we must repent of our sin and turn to him. It's not that we can clean ourselves up. It's that we just admit we need cleaning. It's like when you go to the hospital and you're so sick, you can't help yourself. You come to get help. That's why you go there. I don't know of anyone that checks in at the hospital just because they don't have a bed on which to sleep. That'd be a pretty expensive bed. We go there because we know we have a need. And we come to Christ in sincerity and in truth because we know we have a need that we can't meet. But he can. He died in our place. So it's going to, notice with me in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, when Jesus comes, there's a lot of people, I think, they think when the Lord comes back, they're just going to quick say a prayer and get saved. My friends, it's going to be too fast and too late. The speed of lightning, we're told, is the speed which could go around the earth 6 or 7 times in a second. 1 second. That being the case, I mean, some of you are pretty fast. Some of you young people have really fast reflexes. Like when we're playing family basketball or volleyball, some of you young people, you know, you see which way the ball is going to be thrown and you just instantly go for it. And us old timers just can't figure out how to get around you, you know, because you're too fast. We can't get that ball around you. But no one is fast enough to respond. When the Lord comes back, when that trumpet sounds, it's going to be too late. And you notice in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in what? Unrighteousness. There's only one reason why mankind will not turn to the Lord Jesus Christ now. And that is selfishness and sin. Too much pleasure in unrighteousness. I want to do what I want to do. Can you imagine having someone propose to you in marriage when you are 21, 22, whatever, and you say, no, I haven't quite had enough fun, so, you know, come back. And so, say about you're 80. At 80 years of age, you go to them and say, will you marry me? Would you wait that long for someone? Probably not. Probably not. But so many people give the best years of their lives to sin, and then in the last moment think that they'll give their lives to Christ. But you know what? I talked to a man who was, the last time I talked to him, he was 87 years old. And you know what? He still was sharing with me, he still loved his sin too much to get saved. He knew he needed to get saved. He knew he needed to turn from his sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. But at 87, he was still telling me he enjoyed his things too much. One of the things he brought up was he loved to gamble. And he knew enough about the Bible, says the love of money is the root of all evil. And just, I didn't say anything about gambling. It was him that brought it up, that he loved to gamble too much. And that was coming between him and the Lord. How sad. Well, when Jesus comes, it's going to be too late. Too late. So there will be no excuses when we stand before the Lord. Number one, because of the witness of nature. Notice in Psalm 19, Psalm 19. None of us will have any excuse when we stand before God because there's the witness of nature itself that there is a God. People that say, I don't believe in a God. Well, what does the Bible say? Psalm 19, verse 1. The Bible says the heavens declare what? The glory of God. And the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. In other words, this witness of the heavens, of nature, is in every land. It all speaks the same language. It doesn't matter if it's Spanish, Russian, some of the orders we got this week, several from Brazil, Argentina, Philippines, Nigeria, Hungary, Ghana. Let's see here. No, that's some of them anyway. What we're looking at in Psalm 19, this speaks all of those languages. It transcends language. The heavens declare the glory of God. In other words, how many of you have ever been to an intersection where there's a stoplight, a red light, but it wasn't working because the power was out? Have you ever come upon a situation like that? Okay. How many of you have ever been at one of those intersections and there was an accident because the power was out? Have you ever seen that? Many of you. Why? What's wrong? Well, because when the light is not red and it's not green, people think, well, it's not red. I'm not stopping. Let the other people stop. And if it's not green, if it's just not red nor green, so many people just go right on through. And there's accidents. I've seen them before. Listen, if there wasn't a God, at night when you looked up at the stars, there would be all kinds of explosions. All kinds. And the Bible says that in the end times, there are going to be fearful sights in the heavens. People are going to know that for all these years, those stars and their courses are so accurate that before there was GPS, before there were satellites up there telling you where your car is and telling the airplanes where they are and telling the ships where they are, they charted their course by the stars. I read about a World War II pilot, and it was his job. He was a navigator on an airplane to get his group to, I don't know if it was Guam, it was someplace out there in the Pacific. And it was the first time it was all on his shoulders. And he was pretty fearful. And he was hoping that when they went below the clouds, that it was Guam or the right island. And he was thankful it was, right on course. How did he do it? By the stars. God has put the stars in such an accurate course that for all these years, man has learned to be able to guide his course by the stars. If the stars were just an accident, if evolution were true, then we would see all kinds of explosions. Just like when no one is in control of an intersection, there's all kinds of accidents. If no one was in control of those stars and their courses, there'd be all kinds of explosions. Amateur astronomers just discovered that on one of the planets, a big asteroid hit it. And they're seeing now a cloud of gas. It looks just like a dark cloud. I don't know, was it Jupiter? It was Jupiter, okay. They're seeing a cloud now on Jupiter as big as the Pacific Ocean from that meteor asteroid hitting that planet. Well, imagine if something hit the Earth. Well, if it hit Jupiter, it could have hit the Earth. Imagine if it had and destroyed an area as big as the Pacific Ocean. Let me tell you something. There is a God in charge. And people, the Bible says, when you look up in the stars, that is evidence enough to tell you that there is a creator and that he is holding everything together. So that's one witness. The second witness, God has built right into us. Notice Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. You see, when we stand before God, we're going to be without excuse. There was the witness of nature. That was ample witness that there's a God in charge. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Romans 1, 18. You know what? One of these days in the end times, the Bible talks about God's going to send a star and it's going to fall into the oceans, and a third of the oceans are going to be death. Everything in that third's going to die. Everything. And the Bible says men's hearts will fail them in that day. Romans 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all what? Ungodliness and what? Unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in what? How do you do that? How do you hold the truth, but hold it unrighteously? My friends, there are a lot of cults, a lot of religious organizations that are claiming to hold the truth or claiming to hold the Bible, but they are teaching a false way of salvation. The Bible goes on in verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are what? Without excuse. Now, when you and I look in the mirror, we're probably not totally satisfied with what we see. We see our faults and our imperfections. But what we have to admit is this: God has made these bodies exceedingly complex. Before reading and hearing about in the early days of the space program, the huge computers that it took to do anything. And earlier in our military, it would take a whole semi filled with computers to do the computations that now, in fact, that probably wouldn't do the computations your laptop computer would do. But you know what? The laptop still doesn't match your mind. Now, sure, we forget some things. But you know what? How many times have you had your computer crash? All it takes is one blink of the power. I was working on my computer this week. The power blinked. It just blinked. I don't even know if it was more than a second. And I lost everything I was working on in a second. These minds are exceedingly complex. God created our minds. God created these eyes. How could one eye ever evolve? Do you realize that a camera still can't see what our eye can? Just take a picture. I remember Brother Jeremy and Julie took a picture when they went to Mexico on a missions trip some years ago. And one of the pictures was looking down a very steep bank, but it was like all brown and brush. And you know what? They said that was a very steep bank. But you know what? That film just, it didn't capture it. Film can't capture what the eye can really see, the depth perception the eye can see. The light, as I mentioned recently, and I forget the figures, but the eye can see down to, is, I don't know if it's one photon of light or two, something like that. In other words, it's like when you wake up in the middle of the night, you can see pretty clearly, even when it's dark. God has made these eyes, and not just one, but two. That could never be an accident. God has put that witness within us. All these witnesses that, you know what, there is a God, His eternal power to develop the eye. Man still can't come up with a camera that can match the eye, what the eye can see. So God has, number one, built the witness of nature. There's a witness of nature. Number two, the witness that God has built into us. And then number three, there's a witness of God's word, the Bible. Notice in Psalm 12, Psalm chapter 12, we have the witness of the Bible, and God has promised to preserve the Bible for every generation. Psalm 12, in verse 6. Psalm 12, verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt what? Keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt what? Preserve them from this generation. How long? Forever. God has promised to preserve His word. And it's by the Bible is how we get saved. Notice in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. You know what? There's no way to get saved apart from God's word, the Bible. There's the witness we have in nature, but you know what? in the stars, you can't go dot to dot and figure out how to be saved. There, it's the witness there is a God, but how do you reach him? Well, he left his written word. It's just like when you go to the store, don't you have many times to write a note? Say, you know, gone to the store, gone to the church, gone here, there. We have these little notes, you know, we write, gone here, gone there. God left his word here. Romans chapter 10, and notice verse 17. Romans 10, 17. So then what? Faith. Faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Some people say, well, I don't believe in God. Well, that excuse is not going to hold up because there's a witness of nature, the heavens declare the glory of God. There's the witness you have inside of you. You know you are fearfully made, Psalm 139. And then there's the witness of God's word showing that there is a God and how to reach him. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How do we reach him? Verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe where? In thine heart, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be what? Ashamed. We are witnessing on Thursday evening, and I happened to run across a man I hadn't seen in many, many years. And I was saying to him, sir, I don't see the change in people's lives today very often that I did back in yesteryear. And I mentioned his parents and my grandparents. And I said, back in those days when people got saved, their lives changed. My grandparents lived rough lives, but when they were adults, they came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and their lives were totally transformed. They lived differently, and the tears came to this man's eyes in our conversation. Because you see, in his life, there has not been a change. He has not given his life to serving Jesus Christ. And he knew it. He knew it. But you know what? The Bible talks about true salvation. It says, verse 11, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Someone who is truly saved is not ashamed. Have you ever seen a bride and groom that is ashamed of each other? Have you ever seen a bride and groom exchange vows and commit their lives to each other, and then as soon as they leave, you know, they go hide? No, they greet their guests, and they're not ashamed. And then a little later on, why, they're so close, you know, it's like... It's hard in some cars today, but they used to say, there goes a one, two-headed person. I don't know how they used to say it, but anyway, the couple was so close anyway, it's hard to tell if it was one person or two. No, that's how newlyweds are. I mean, they are close. They're not ashamed of each other. That's how it ought to be with us in the Lord. Verse 11, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Why is it that people can use God's name in vain and they're not ashamed? But people are ashamed to talk about, well, Jesus is my Savior. One person stands there cursing this person and that thing, using Jesus and God and maybe the Holy Spirit, using their name in vain. And they don't blush. They're not ashamed. And yet, so many people who say they're saved are ashamed to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says here that when we're saved, verse 11, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not might be, but shall be saved. But notice the importance of the Bible, verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not what? Believe. They're not going to be saved until they believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. It goes on, and how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? If they don't hear of the Lord Jesus Christ, they can't be saved. And how shall they hear without a preacher? So many people say today, oh, don't preach at me. Don't preach at me. But the Bible says, how are we going to be saved without a preacher? How are we going to be saved without hearing that we need to be saved? Verse 15, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. The track I showed you is a track of one of my most dearly beloved friends, Ken Miller. And Brother Ken, when he would leave the church service, I can't remember a time when he didn't, with a big smile, say, "Praise the Lord, good message, preacher." Now, I knew they weren't all good messages, but you know what? He came seeking a blessing. And so it wasn't me, it was the Word of God is what he enjoyed. And just always that big smile. We had a basement in the old church building, and the back room would get filled, just like maybe your garage. Many people can't pull their vehicle into the garage because it's filled with junk. Many people have no room in the basement because it's filled with junk. Many people have no room in the closet because it's filled with junk. Well, everyone has a junk room, and at the church, it was the back room in the basement. And at first, you could close the door. But eventually, so much junk would get put back in there that you couldn't even close the door. And the junk would begin to creep out into the back entryway, the stairway. And it would be Brother Ken. He would say, "Pastor, I noticed the back room is getting full. Would you like me to clean it out?" And I'd say, "Thank you, Brother Ken. Thank you." And he would clean it out. He'd haul junk to the dump and restack things again. And he gave his hay wagon to be used for the parades. What a blessing. What a blessing, Brother Ken. And you know what? Just like the Bible says of Abel, he being dead yet speaketh. And here his life story was used. 12 years later, after he passed away, 12 years, his story is still being used that people might be saved. If I was to pick a tract to send to the Fiji Islands, I probably wouldn't have sent this one because I would think, well, I don't think in the Fiji Islands they know what an ice-covered lake is. They won't be able to understand it. But you know what? This woman, by faith, maybe she's traveled and seen an ice-covered lake somewhere else. But if not, by faith, she understood how Ken came to Christ. And by faith, she placed her faith in someone that she has never seen, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who loves us, the one who gave his blood on the cross for our sins. And she was saved. It's got the missionary's name right on the back. But I don't believe it was an accident that she sent. Now, most tracts like this would get sent to the missionary, not to us, from the Fiji Islands. But it was no accident that she sent it here. We've sent a couple loads of tracts to the Fiji Islands in memory of loved ones. So Mrs. Bowman's mother passed away. A load of tracts was sent to the Fiji Islands in memory of her, to the Tubbs' grandpa, Mrs. Tubbs' dad. A load of tracts was sent to the Fiji Islands, the same missionary, in memory of him. And I believe it was God just pulling back the curtain a little bit for our benefit, showing us that here this way, on July 23rd, receive the Lord by faith. And I just pray that this morning that the Holy Spirit would cause each of us to realize there's only one way to be saved, and it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. The first word out of Jesus' mouth when he began his ministry was repent. The first word out of John the Baptist's mouth was repent. We must turn from our sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. No, we can't clean ourselves up, but we must have the desire to be cleansed. Have you ever seen a little boy that didn't have any desire for a bath, but he needed one. Have you ever seen a dog that needed a bath but didn't want it? You know what? The Lord doesn't force us to get saved. We have got to say, you know what? I need to be cleansed. I am a filthy mess because of my sin. And I desire to be made clean. That is the heart attitude that God will bless. And then we can have a place reserved in heaven, shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, you alone know all of our hearts. You alone know who in this building is saved and who is not. You alone know who has repented of his or her sin and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save him or her. Only you know. And Father, I pray that you would work in each and every one of our hearts. You know, Father, if we've been ashamed of you, if we're ashamed to say, I'm a Christian, if someone else is swearing, using your name in vain, talking filthy, you know, if we're ashamed, afraid to say anything about you. Father, I pray the Holy Spirit would work in our hearts. We thank you for this lady in the Fiji Islands getting saved. We thank you for Brother Ken's testimony. He's now with you in heaven. He received the Lord Jesus Christ and had a place reserved in heaven. And his story is still being used to see people saved. And Lord, I pray if there's any people right here this morning that are not yet saved, that this morning they would come, that they would not be ashamed, but that they would come and say, I want to know before I leave here that I have a place reserved in heaven. Please work in our hearts now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.